Here in Psalm chapter 3, the title of my message is Three Pauses. Three Pauses. The term Selah, when we read that, it means pause. It's a musical term. It means stop the music. Take a break. We need that sometimes in songs, don't we? We've got to catch a breath. You've got to stop. Stop the music. Brother Robin Bark used to say, anytime you see Selah, you stop and look for Christ. That's good advice, isn't it? You see Selah, you stop and look for Him. This is what David has to write. It was so important us to read that this morning about Absalom. After Absalom did all those things he done that we looked at, David fled, didn't he? And he went and hid, and he wrote this psalm. This psalm for us. This is his psalm. It's every believer's psalm. The children of God sang this. I'm talking to Brother Todd about that. When somebody ever says, every child of God thinks, does, says, acts. Whatever it is. When somebody says, every child of God, I go, huh? Hush. Well, this is what that man has to say. This is David's song. It's every child of God's song because this is Christ's song. It's holy communication between our Lord and the Lord. That's what it is. We need to pause in some parts in there too. Look here in verse 1. Psalm 3, verse 1. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Pause. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Pause. Dwell on it. I laid me down and slept. I waked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me. O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Pause. Selah. The first pause we look at here, in this first two verses, we're surrounded. Many are raised up against us. They say that of David and of the Lord's people. God can't even help them now. Look at them. You ever felt that way? Have you ever been surrounded? I've had literally a horseshoe of people around me before. Maybe just a little bit past going at me. And unlike Chesney Puller, he said, that ain't a target-rich environment. You're about to get overwhelmed, ain't you? Well, it's a good place to be. Surrounded. We all say we ain't got nothing left to do but pray, right? That'll be the first thing we do. Cry out, Lord, I'm surrounded. It's all right to be surrounded. That's a good place to be. You might cry out to God. Man don't need to find a Jesus. He needs to get lost. That's what he needs to do. We don't need to get some help. We need to get brought down. We need to be surrounded. This concerns David. It was his experience. And it's every believer's experience. But it's the believer's life because this is our life, our walk in this world, because it was our Lord's experience on this earth. It says in verse 1, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. David had so many people throughout his life against him, didn't he? He was just a young little shepherd boy and went against that giant, Goliath. Then Saul found out the Lord anointed him. The Lord found favor. He favored David. And Saul tried to kill him. And then he tried to kill him. And after that, Saul tried to kill him. I think he's upset with him, wasn't he? Tried to surround him, sending his people after him. But the Lord kept David. The Lord sustained him. He hedged him about. Later in life, David had so many enemies come against him. And the Lord defeated every enemy of David, didn't he? and now. That's all external stuff. We know Saul. We know he's a king. We know these other ites. All the ites living around are coming after him. The Philistines and all this. We know about that stuff, don't we? We can read about that in the history book. Where's it going to hit us home? You can read this scripture and it ain't going to do a lick good for you until God makes it hit you in the heart. Unless he comes where you live. That's what's going to have to happen. Now his very own son, Absalom, his thirdborn, his own flesh and blood come after him. What an example. Absalom was seeking to overthrow his father, who was his king too. It ain't just that he's overthrowing a king. That's his dad. Half your DNA come from David, Absalom. Get him out of here. That's your king. Get rid of him. I can do a better job. I'll kiss people on the hand. I'll love on them. I'll be sweet to them. I'll say comfortable things to them. I'll get them on my side. I'll bleed their little hearts right over to me. Kindness and sweetness and sugary grins. Get David out of there. I got time for you, is what he said. That's his own son. The enemy of David was in his own house from his own loins. And Absalom did it very sneaky, didn't he? Did Absalom get up? Did the bad guy get up and say, I'm the bad guy? No. What kindness. What thoughtfulness of him coming. Let me come here. Let me talk to you. I got a lot of stuff I'm going to tell you because I know more than you know. And I'm going to run off at the mouth. Go read Ecclesiastes 5:1. Walk into God's gates, you shut up. You hush. Be ready to hear more than speak. Absalom was speaking, but he was speaking soft and kind, wasn't he? It says, and it was so when any man came nigh unto him to do obstinance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Let me lift you up a little bit. Let me tell you what a good job you're doing. Is that not a good idea? The most handsome man in Israel, it says in 2 Samuel chapter 14. He was the most handsome man that walked. Crafty, smart, the king's very son sought to get rid of him. But the Lord ended it. That's the closest one to him. If anybody can get him, it'd be Absalom. Knows him in and out. Time and place, predictability, ain't got nothing on Absalom. He knows exactly where he is. The Lord ended it. Joab, that one he used, Joab killed him in battle. God killed David's enemy. That's my son. That's my flesh and blood. God killed him. That's what was right. God crushed every enemy. Turn to Matthew chapter 10. Our Lord said of every one of His children, you're going to have troubles, you're going to have trials, you're going to have tribulations. They shall come, and it will come in our own families. Matthew 10, verse 34. Matthew 10, 34. Think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and in the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes, your enemies, shall be they of thine own household. They of thine own household. You're going to take up sides with God against yourself, against your family, against your friends, against your neighbors, against anybody it is. And whenever you do, they're going to be mad at you. It's going to happen to the child of God. Somebody's going to be upset with you. I don't think you ought to be going in there listening to that. I don't think you ought to think these things. What's wrong with you? Don't you know better? I've had loved ones of mine. Same blood going through their veins as mine, raised by the same people. So how in the world could you believe such nonsense? Be careful. What if I'm all by myself? What if I live alone? Can there be foes in my household? Can enemies surround me if I was the only one on a deserted island? Would the words of the Lord still ring true? I surround myself, don't I? My biggest foe is right here. All by myself. That's my biggest foe. It ain't the government. It ain't the presidents and politicians and laws and all that nonsense, because that's what it is. God rules all those things. It's me. I'm the wild one. I'm the unruly one. It says in verse 37, he that loveth his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Oh, God teach us what that meant. We're to honor our mothers and fathers, aren't we? The Lord told us that. Honor your mother and father. And then whenever you get married, you leave mommy and daddy. But you still honor them. You're still kind to them. You don't listen to them no more. You departed. You cleaved to your wife. Cleaved to your husband. But you still honor your folks. Well, what does he mean? He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Go against the gospel. To go against Christ. To go against his word and say mommy and daddy was still God's. Oh, they're in heaven. They're an angel. They got wings and playing harps and whatever nonsense people come up with. No, God's true. I'm the liar. I'm just trying to self-soothe. Trying to make myself happy. Trying to make my conscience okay. Well, I'm sure that they was the Lord's, even though they never heard him, they never followed him, they never took up their cross, never did nothing, didn't care to be with his people, love him, serve him, rejoice and trembling with him, kiss the Son. But they're God's people. What nonsense. That's somebody trying to make themselves feel good. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. I'm from people in Appalachia. I've seen a bunch of them growing up. They get a big old wooden cross put on their shoulder and they walk up down the road. That's them taking the cross. And I was a small child. And that one guy saw him and said, Daddy, what's that guy doing? He said, foolishness, son. That's what he's doing. And then I saw him the next day and he mounted a wheel to it on the bottom. Make it easier. Ain't that us? We go through nonsense and we pick the easiest thing we can do. I want to observe the law. I'm going to make laws to myself, but I'm only going to pick the easy ones. Go through the Levitical law. Don't you ever eat a medium rare steak again. Well, now hold on now. What about a fish that doesn't have scales, that's got skins, because that's like us. No covering. That's what man is. We ain't got no feathers. We ain't got no scales. Don't you eat a fish that's got skin. Well, what about a catfish fry? Well, no, let's observe the other stuff. That's us, isn't it? Trying to find something to do instead of looking at what's been done. Christ finished it. That's what gets mad. He that findeth his life shall lose it. Somebody's a go-getter. Well, I will go to service, but I got to drop my kids off at work and go get them. We got some things. People's coming in, football games on. You found another life. You'll go where your life is. My heart beats inside of me because that's where my life is. And then my life of this world, I'll go where my life is. I go home at night. I go to my house. I sleep next to my wife under the same roof as my children. Why? That's where my life is. Where do I go to church? Oh, just anywhere. That place is closest. I go to where life is, where Christ is. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life, this worldly life, for my sake shall find it. Give up everything. It don't matter. I got him. Well, you just found life. You found him. You found the person of our salvation. Why would it please God to give David so much trouble? Why does it please God to give each of his children foes from within their own household, from within their own body, their own flesh and blood? Because the servant's not above his master. Look up in verse 24. Matthew 10:24. The disciple's not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. When a believer takes a public stand for the gospel, not in private, not in a closet somewhere, not people say, well, I believe those things, but I don't preach them. Hogwash. You preach what you believe. You tell people what you believe. If you believe wishy-washy things, you tell them wishy-washy things. You jump the fence because you're a fence jumper. You take a public stand for the gospel in a pulpit, in a home, wherever, on YouTube, in a newspaper. Those not made to bow to God's sovereign grace in Christ, they are in strong opposition to it. It's one or the other. They take offense because they are enmity against God. They're not at war. They don't, like we're at war and then we ain't. And then we are and then we ain't. Sleep at night. They are the war. They are enmity against God. The Lord said, if the world hates you, you know it hated me before it hated you. If you were in of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, because of that, because God chose the people out of this sin-cursed earth, therefore the world hates you. Because I chose you. I made you like Christ. I put my incorruptible seed in you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant's not greater than his Lord. They have persecuted me. They will also persecute you. They might. They will, he said. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Those that believe Christ, They'll be right there with you. They'll be of one voice, of one accord, of one mind, of one faith, of one birth. Won't they? They'll be in unison. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent. Why people go against God? God said it's because they don't know God. Why people go against the Lord's people? Why was Absalom against David? Why was the foes of my very own household against me? Why was the foes of your household against you? Because they don't know God. Well, now they know some things. They don't know God. Christ said so. Do we bow to it? We say amen? Or do we butt like a goat against it? Remember, this psalm, this is holy communication between our Lord and the Lord Jehovah, the Lord of hosts. Turn to Matthew 27. We go through all these things. I feel so sorry for myself. I get down. I got everybody against me. I got emails and phone calls and all this stuff. And I think, poor me. Don't I? Cry out to the Lord. Lord, I'm surrounded. Well, if I'd pause and see Christ. The Hebrew writer said, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Every time I'm tempted, I have sin. Times of trouble, times of temptation, ain't nothing but sin. That's the essence of sin, my pride, and it comes out of me. Our text told us, said, O Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Pause on that. Now, Matthew 27, verse 37. Matthew 27, 37. And set up over his head his accusation written, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand, the other on the left hand. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads. What's wagging their heads? That's rising up in judgment, isn't it? That's something simple, just like Absalom did. It looks caring, doesn't it? Somebody does something. If I was doing something, my dad looked at me and went, why can't I stop doing it? He ain't happy. He's displeased. Well, what can we do with a look and a head, turn of a head, huh? Wagging of a head? They reviled him and they walked by. Some walked by and just went, shook their heads. Verse 40, and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it up in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priest mocking him with the scribes and the elders. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe him. We wouldn't believe him when he saved others. We didn't believe him when he healed the blind. We didn't believe him whenever he made the lame walk. But if he does this, then we'll believe. No, you wouldn't. Wasn't given to you to believe. Verse 43, he trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he'll have him. For he said, I'm the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. That's what our Lord bore for his people. The shame of the cross. That was just physically. That wasn't the sin of ours laid on him. Him becoming us and God turning from God because of our iniquity on him. And him taking that beating, taking that wrath for his people. Physically they mocked him. Physically they turned their heads to him. Physically they scorned him. Isaiah said you couldn't even recognize him. His earthly mother didn't know it was him. He was beaten beyond recognition. At that point, even if that was somebody evil, wouldn't we have a little bit of compassion? Like, well, maybe you ought not hit him no more. Just let him die. Or do a mercy killing. Go ahead and shoot him or something. Put him down. Now, that's just too much, isn't it? They kept going, surrounded by his enemies. Back in our text, we looked at Psalm 2. We looked at last week. Psalm 2, verse 2. Kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. All this counsel that took together thousands and thousands of people there around mocking Christ, crucifying him. Give us Barabbas. Kill him. Save yourself. Throwing things in his teeth, wouldn't they? They thought they won. All those mockers, all the gainsayers, they sought to kill him, do away with the Lord Jesus Christ. They thought at Calvary they had won. We got rid of him. Just opposite. Just opposite. The Lord laughed at him. What? His determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. By their wicked hands they slew him. On that cross, bearing the sin and shame of his people, God justly poured out his wrath for sin until he was satisfied. Salvation was accomplished completely. Look now at the second pause. This psalm is a prayer. It begins crying to the Lord, bringing out our cares and our burdens to him. It says Psalm 3, verse 1, Lord, how are they increase that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which shall say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. And we feel alone. We feel like the world is out to get us. Selah. Remember the Lord. Pause. Look for Christ. He was tempted in all points like I was, wasn't he? Touched with the feeling of my infirmities. Oh, so much worse. It says in verse 3, but thou. All this pain, all this surrounding. We pause on that. But thou. Here's the answer. Not me. Not but the church, not but doctrine, but thou. Oh, it's a person. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Pause, Selah. Christ is the believer's shield, isn't it? Who's my shield? It says in Psalm 18, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. He's what I stand on. He's what I'm surrounded by. And he's the one that delivers me. And God's my strength in whom I trust, my buckler. That means alligator skin. My covering. And the horn of my salvation, my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. How are we going to be saved from our enemies? Calling on the Lord. Calling on to worship him. Who's worthy to be praised. Christ was shielded too, wasn't he? We're shielded. The Lord's our shield. Christ was shielded. He was born. Herod was seeking to kill all them infants in Jerusalem. Get rid of them. Mary and Joseph had to flee. The Lord shielded him. All those Pharisees kept rising up. Kill him. Let's take up stones. Let's plot against him. Let's take counsel together. And he said, my hour has not yet come. He said, you can't touch me till I let you. That's what he's saying. Shielded, wasn't he? He's our glory. Paul said in Galatians 6, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me and I unto the world. Where's all my glory? In him. In him. What did you do that you didn't receive? What do you have you didn't receive? Who makes you to differ? Christ is my glory. That makes me dead to this world. It's going to make me the head dog catcher in San Diego County. Don't make a difference. Sweet floors will be the president. This world's going to burn. Christ is our glory. But he said, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. God's glory is his glory. The Son's glory is the Father's glory. They're one. Same glory he had before is what he's going to be glorified with now. And Christ is the lifter of our heads. He's our head. But he turns our eyes to him, don't we? When our head's down, if I look down, what am I looking at? Earth. Unless I'm hanging upside down. I'm in real trouble. If I look down, I'm looking at earth, ain't it? Dirt. The world. Anytime I can't rest, it's because I'm looking at me. I'm looking at the enemy. I'm looking at this world all around me. And I'm not looking to the Lord my sheep. That's why I have trouble resting. God's people have trouble resting. David had trouble resting because he was looking at himself, at his own flesh and blood, his son, instead of looking at the Son of God, his shield. But Christ lifts our heads up. When he lifts our heads up, I look to him. He's my shield. He's my glory. He that glories, let him glory in the Lord. then I'm lifted up. When I cried unto Him with my voice, He heard me. How do I know? My eyes are lifted up to the heavens. He lifted them. Turn over to Psalm 121. Psalm 121 says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. This shield of ours, our protector, our creator. It's 24 hours a day for eternity. I sleep. I'm a watchman on the wall, and I gotta eat, I gotta go to bed. He watches the watchman. Who's gonna keep me in line? Lord is. Who's gonna keep you in line? Lord is. Who's gonna watch us? Who's gonna protect us? Who's gonna be our shield? Against all these foes and enemies in our own household and all around us? He is. Verse 5 says, the Lord is thy keeper, and the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in. From this time forth, starting right now, and even, I got one good enough, and even forevermore. It ain't going to stop. It ain't going to stop. This is the one we cry to when we cry out. Cry to the Lord. He's our help in ages past and our hope for years to come. A hymn writer wrote, the Lord of Lords that keeps Israel, He keeps them. He sustains them. He gives them shade. He preserves them forevermore. That's who we cry to. He hears the cries of His people. That's the reason we're crying in the first place. Did you know that? When we cry to the Lord, Lord, I'm surrounded. Lord, hear me. Be with me. Lift my eyes up. We're doing that because He put it in us to call on Him. People said, well, I asked God. No, you didn't. No, He didn't make you. Isaiah said, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. What's going to answer with? Making you call? And while they are yet speaking, I'll hear. How can He hear words we're still speaking? He put them in our mouth. His Spirit intercedes for us, making groanings that can't be uttered. Like Psalm 3. It says, I cried with a loud voice. Psalm 3, verse 4. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me out of His holy hill. Pause. He heard David. Isn't that something? David's son's against him. He cried to the Lord, and David said, Lord, heard me. I cried to the Lord. I begged for mercy. Lord, I'm a sinner. Forgive me. Give me life. I need You. I need Your incorruptible seed. And He had mercy on me. And if a sinner comes to Him in truth, not like, well, it's a rainy day, as an insurance policy, God, against Thee and Thee only have I sinned and done this evil on Your side. I might have hurt some other folks, but I've sinned against You. I need Your mercy. He'll have mercy. He hears His people. Christ receiveth sinners and eats with them. That's an accusation they made against our Lord. Isn't that good news? He receives sinners. By faith, the harlot Rahab. That didn't go away from her, did it? How we know her? The thief on the cross. Naaman, the leper. That's who He receives. And He eats with them. It ain't like, well, you can just come in. Don't you touch me. Let's sit down. You want some bread? Family. He eats. The Lord heard David. The Lord heard me. You cry to Him. He never turned one away. But the Lord cried unto the Lord. This is Christ, remember? What did He cry? That's precious. It is finished. He was telling us that, wasn't He? He was telling His Father. He cried unto the Lord. It is finished. And the Father that we offended heard Him. on His holy hill. The Father heard my representative, my substitute, telling everything You've put in my hand to do from eternity past that will sustain through eternity to come. It's done. Ain't no do left. I did it all. It's done. It's finished. And God the Father heard Him. Selah. Do I need to go read a book that thick? Huh. Just soak on that. You dwell on that. Christ spoke. God heard Him. Well, I don't feel like He heard me. It don't matter if He heard you. He heard His Son, Your representative, Your substitute. Because of that, He hears His people. What comfort do we have looking to Him, isn't it? Looking to what He accomplished. What was finished? That's what we got to look at, wouldn't it? Christ cried to the Lord. It's finished. And He heard Him. What was finished? Look here in verse 5. I laid me down and slept. I wait for the Lord to sustain me. The Lord Jesus, who shall save His people from their sins, laid Himself down and slept. No one else laid Him down. He said, I laid me down and slept. What does He tell us in John 10? No man taketh my life from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it back up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. He died willingly. He was the one that had the power to do it. Nobody else did. He laid down His life, and He slept. When Judas and that big gang come to Him, going to arrest Him, Judas going to get his little back silver, wouldn't he? Christ asked, said, who do you seek? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And He says, I am. And the whole lot of them, like a bomb went off, overpressure come, and knocked every one of them flat to the ground off of His name. They all fell backwards to the ground. This is the one who laid down His life. Sleep is often referred to as believers' body dying. Christ laid down His life for the sheep, and He was buried, wasn't He? Put in that tomb. Verse 5 says, I awakened. He laid down His life. He was buried. And He awoke. The Lord sustains Him. Psalm 16 says, for Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt Thou suffer Thine Holy One to see corruption. He is risen. He is risen. He awoke. If He's not, we don't have a gospel. If He's not risen, there's no good news. But God is risen. He laid down His life. He slept. He awoke. Because God sustained Him. He conquered sin, death, hell, the grave, all for His people. When we pause on the fact that we were attacked on all sides, we was attacked inside. I was attacking myself. And then our eyes were lifted up. The Lord hears us because of Christ. And we pause on the fact that He willingly laid down His life for us, and the Father was satisfied in that. He was just, and He was satisfied, in turn making us justified. And no one can lay any charge to God's elect. There is now, therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Ever. Ever. It's gone. Can't lay no charge against them. Now you and I. That's what Christ did. He laid Himself down. He slept. He woke. Now, we look at Him. We pause on these things. I can lay down and go to sleep tonight. Can I? I toss and turn. Christ died for me. It's done forever. It's finished. The Father heard Him. He's risen. That's the proof. It's accepted. Go to sleep. Take a nap. Wake up in the morning. Serve Him. The one that sustained you. Serve Him with fear. Rejoice and trembling. Kiss the Son. That's who did it, wasn't it? Verse 6 says, I will not be afraid of 10,000 people that have set themselves against round about me. When we consider Him, when we know who He is and what He did, the person and the work, Christ our Lord. Kevin, there's 10,000 people outside going to get you. That's all right. Best thing they can do is kill me. Send me to my Lord. That's all right. And if He's pleased to keep me here, that's the best thing that could happen. Whatever happens is the best thing for me to happen. It's for my good and His glory. I was talking to Brother yesterday about that. Boy, if I could just get just that much, if I could get a hold of that all day, if I break my toe, if I break my leg, that was my good. And God's going to glorify Himself in that. no matter what happens. But we continue to call on our Lord, don't we? We see what who He is, what we are. We're surrounded, we're enabled. We see what He's done. And this isn't a one-and-done salvation. We continue to call on Him. He saved us from before time was time. He is saving His people, and He shall save us. And we know that till we're with Him, till we're made like Him. It says in verse 7, "Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For Thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly." Arise doesn't mean get up and do something. We don't speak with a reverence to our Lord. We don't tell Him what to do. We don't give Him advice. We're not His counselor. And we don't flippantly use His names. Well, Jesus and... If I'd have walked home in my house one time and looked at my father and said, "Hey, Paul, where's the remote control?" I'd have ran. He'd have took my head off. Well, don't talk to him that way. That's my dad. But this arise doesn't mean get up and do something. It means exalt yourself. Lord, exalt yourself. Perform what you have promised. I thought, well, that's a good one, isn't it? Perform what you have promised. Stir us up, strengthen us, and endure forever. Lord, arise, O Lord, and save me. For Thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Where's cheekbones and teeth? That's in the head, isn't it? Cheekbones and teeth. That's what bites. That's what devours. That's what guile passes over, isn't it? The accuser of the brethren. Genesis 3:15 said, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed," speaking of Christ. "It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Christ was bruised on that cross when he cried, "It was finished." But he crushed Satan's head. He broke his jaw. Can't have no charge against God's elect now, can he? Knocked his teeth out. Can't speak. Can't bite. Can't devour. I could not break the teeth of sin, of the devil, of the grave. I couldn't smite its cheekbone. But it says there, the Lord has done this. It's accomplished. It's finished. What can we say? Salvation to the Lord. That's it. That's all man's left with. If you're going to get the Scriptures and read them, God gives you any light at all, you ain't going to walk out what you need to do. You're going to walk out what's been done. Salvation to the Lord, and praise Him for it. Rejoice in it. Be thankful for that. Look at verse 8. "Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Because of that, thy blessing is upon thy people." That's what's listed. That's what the colon. The Oxford colon. "Salvation belongeth to the Lord." Here's what's going to be listed by that. Here what follows after. "Thy blessing is upon thy people." Pause on that. Selah. I assume a hymn writer was reading Psalm 3 before writing hymn number 353 in our hymnals. It said, "When my enemies assail and my heart begins to fail." And it pauses there, doesn't it? You got to breathe. You got to take a breath. "My master was persecuted. When my enemies assail, my heart begins to fail. He was surrounded. Just remember, God in heaven answers prayer. The Father heard Christ pray for me, and He heard it was finished. What more do I need here? He will make a way for you. He will lead you safely through. Christ died for the ungodly, and whosoever calls upon His name shall be saved." And that salvation is 100% of the Lord, because it belongs to Him. It's His. He can give it to whoever so He wills. He can be gracious, and be gracious. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. That's what David was doing. He was crying to his Lord. That's what the children of God do too. We're surrounded. But Lord, You've crushed my main enemy. You've crushed that enemy that's in me, haven't You? Exalt Yourself, arise, and save me again. Come to me. Let me see You. Let me have my daily bread. Let me see Christ one more time today. Wouldn't that be something? Amen.